crap you're listening to.
Originating from Las Vegas, Nevada, you're listening to LV Rocks. Noise from Vegas. The following is a live LV Rocks original webcast. Visit LVRocks.com for studio cam and live chat room.
Welcome back to another edition of Subject to Discussion, once again live in LVRocks.com as well as on S2DRadio.com. Thank you for everybody joining us live, and of course everybody in the chat room. And that was the producer, Mr. Con Solar, who's due to leave tomorrow on a worldwide European trip. And we wish him well on that. Hope he comes back safe and sound. And what else I'm talking about? The website is S2DRadio.com. Email is subject number 2, discussion at LVRocks.com. And what else? Tonight, after the news to you, and we'll be joined by Michael J.W. Stickings with our political discussion. And then in the second hour, we'll be joined by Koenig Rules, opening the second hour to discuss the latest Battlestar Galactica and Doctor Who episodes. Very good. I like the Galactica episode a little bit better than I like the Who episode, but both very good. And then following him in the second hour, it will be the mad rocket scientist, Dr. Net Ranger, to discuss pop culture and Jericho. And in the chat room, we have Chris1019, Crazy Badger, Darth Marley, 40, Giorgio, Net Ranger, myself, and the John. So if you're out there listening to the program live, you can go into the chat room at lvrocks.com or at s2dradio.com. And then we're going to announce some kind of a little bit of a contest at the end of the second hour with Net Ranger, kind of spinning off a little bit from Mrs. Ron's contest. I don't think we ever saw a resolution to that on the sci-fi board, but anyway. And before we get to the news to you and the rest of the news, I have, the of course, the USA Today today. The headline, they talk about the war and the economy swaying the race for the midterms. Of course, today MSNBC went the whole day talking about the midterm elections. And on the below the fold, they say that Hyde, Congressman Henry Hyde, who is retiring from Illinois, he says that Hyde asks Rumsfeld to bolster fight against Afghan heroin. So that's a no-brainer. I don't know why they're not doing more to that to begin with. I remember seeing who was talking to Bush. O'Reilly was talking to Bush last week. And O'Reilly even pinned the Bush down about the opium crisis, that the crops are more than they ever were before the war. And Bush says we're working with Karzai's administration to eradicate the opium and things like that. So I don't know. And also they talk about the U.S. trees are under relentless attacks from bugs and blight. So so trees are under attack now. And also they have on the side, by the snapshots, the discrimination claims fall. Total number of job discrimination claims made to the U.S. Employment Opportunity Commission have dropped. Last year, only 75,428 discrimination claims versus 79,432 in 2004. So, and what else? Jeffrey Skilling, the clown with the Enron thing. He's going to go to prison for 24 years. Good for him. Hope he has a really nice, tender, loving cellmate over there in prison. And actually, his brother is Tom Skilling, is the weatherman in Chicago for WGN. So why don't you just send him an email and ask him how he feels about his brother and everything else. That'll rattle his cage a little bit. And what else? In the living section, they talk about Madonna's going to talk to Oprah about adopting that kid in Africa. So we'll see about that. And actually, O'Reilly is supposed to be showing up on Oprah as well. So I think he's going to be on there on Friday. And it's about Conan O'Brien. Apparently, he's going to do his whole show as a skeleton on next Tuesday. So, in honor of Halloween, I guess. There he is. What was that? And Oprah's a pig?
That was for Oprah.
Oh, I don't know. I have no comment on Oprah. Hey, Oprah's wonderful, isn't she? And Angela Lansbury is going to, I didn't know she was still alive, is going to make a racket on Broadway. Apparently, Angela Lansbury will appear on Broadway for the first time in more than two decades when she co-stars with Marion Seldes in Deuce. So, yeah, whatever. Good for her. And then they talk about 24 years in the money section for Skilling in the Enron case. And this big mansion in Chicago's for sale. It's a $25 million mansion, 21-acre estate on the North Shore of Lake Michigan in Chicago. That's incredible. I mean, it's a huge house. It looks like the house they had on the Home Alone movie. So I don't know if it is or not. But incredible. And what else? There we go. And then in the Las Vegas Review Journal, and where are we at here? They talk about, of course, Skilling again. U.S. soldier missing. They're talking about that U.S. soldier that's missing in Baghdad. And what else? Hillary's challenger is claiming that apparently he denies insulting Hillary's looks. He claimed apparently that she had plastic surgery and all that. So they're letting him have it over that. And then what else? Actually, and Prince just signed a deal. Remember him? He's going to be running the Club Rio nightclub over at the Rio Hotel. They're going to change it, the name, to Club 3121, and he's going to be running that. Apparently, when he is there performing, they'll charge like $50 a person to get in, and when he's not there, it'll be like $35 a person to go into the nightclub when he gets done with it next year. And in the Nevada section, they talk about North Las Vegas jail officials sent to prison for theft. Apparently, stealing money. From the evidence vaults and things like that. So, and with that, we'll move on to the news to you. And first of all, I had meant to bring in the Time magazine this week, but some clown at work thrown it away on me. But because they had a nice article in there about the United Stats of America, and to talk about who we are as a country. Apparently, white people, there's 239.9 million white people. 80.1% of the country is white. Asian is 13.1 million, is 4.4%. Black is 38.3 million, which is 12.8%. Alaska Native American Indian is 2.9 million, 1%. Hispanic of any race, 44.2 million.
Could we get rid of all the Mexicans?
So it's 14.8% of the population is Hispanic. Not anymore.
Could we get rid of all the Mexicans?
More than the blacks. So that's interesting. And Native Hawaiian and other Pacific Islanders, 0.52 million. So interesting. So it's, they had a lot of. If you get a chance, I really. If you go on the, I'm on the time.com. Website and trying to get the tables to come up here, but and it's really interesting. They had also what we buy as a country, a good rundown of what we buy. Trying to find it here, where we live, demographic breakdown. Apparently, the most of the country is moving south and west, away from the Rust Belt, as I call it. And what else? They have also perceptions of God, the breakdown of religious views in the United States. I'm just trying to see if I can come up with this table, because it's interesting what we are buying, but oh well. And maybe it'll come up, maybe it won't. And anyway, from the Escondido, California, they had this about a CHP. From the CHP, a reckless driver was allegedly driving 150 miles an hour. A man who had recently gotten a speeding ticket. Was allegedly driving 150 miles an hour when his Volkswagen station wagon crashed on a North County freeway, killing him, the CHP report patrol said on Thursday. Let me get this thing to come up here. Wow. That's nothing in California, I understand. Going 150 miles an hour, it's considered nothing there. But anyway, and what else? The next one is from Oceanside, California. Dead bat taken to local school has rabies. A dead bat taken into an elementary school class by a student tested positive for rabies, a county official, health official said. The student had the bat in a plastic bag when he took it to class, said Dr. Wilma Wooten, the blah, blah, blah. Wooten did not know the name of the school or the age of the student. She did say she recommended a series of 5 rabies shots over 28 days for the child who brought the bat to school. Since it was in a bag, no other children are known to have been in direct contact with the carcass and won't need the shots. So, yeah, interesting, huh? And also from Honolulu, surfer Garcia sentenced to 3 months in prison. This is a famous surfing legend and former world champion, Sonny Garcia, will be spending the first 3 months of 07 in a federal prison. A judge in San Diego sentenced Garcia to 3 months in prison and 7 months home detention. Garcia admitted he failed to pay income taxes and more than $161,000 in prize winnings from riding waves in Fiji, Australia, South Africa, France, Spain, Portugal, and Brazil. Garcia also said he intentionally failed to report more than $255,000 from 1996 to 1999 and in 2001. How the hell can you make that kind of money surfing on a damn board? I don't know. As part of his sentence, Garcia must pay all the taxes and penalties he owes and complete 80 hours of community service. So, and interesting. And also from Kansas City, where the hell are these tables? I can't get these damn tables to come up on this thing. Let me see. I get this to come up here. How we live, leisure. There we go. And from Kansas City, Kansas, man says a dog alerted him to fire. They talk about that. A man said his dog saved him when a fire broke out in his home at 10th Street, blah, blah. The dog. And let's see. I could read this from there. Where's the damn thing? Time spent. I don't know. They had a nice little graphic there. I guess this is kind of interesting. Again, I'll dive back in and out of this Time magazine piece as the things come up on the screen. Phone calls, the time spent by gender and marital status. Phone calls, email, men usually spend 7 minutes a day. Well, that's ridiculous. How the hell they come up with that number? Women, 14 minutes. Married couple, 8 minutes. Single, 14 minutes. So obviously, it must have other things to do than, I don't know, I spend more than 7 minutes on the internet. But anyway, unless this, what do you call it, table here is out of whack here. It probably is. And let's see. What else I can read through here? The average American adult devotes 2.5 hours a day to this hobby. What hobby is that? It might be because we waste over time watching television. Okay, so actually, the average American adult devotes 2.5 hours a day to watching TV, and for every additional hour we get free, another 30 minutes goes into that boob tube.
Alcohol, babe.
So if you want more free time, they recommend one thing, turn off the TV. Easier said than done, blah, blah, blah. Let's see, the 6.8 million people who are in a book club, or the 196,000 who attend pro beach volleyball, or 680,000 who go to tractor pulls every month. There's even 3 million people who enjoy a sport called muzzle loading. What is that? It involves shooting a gun that looks 200 years old. The hell is that? I never heard of that. Interesting. And what else? About the dog. A man says dog saved him when a fire broke out in his home. Willie Drew said he was sleeping on the couch and his dog's shadow woke him up at about 1 in the morning by barking and running around the living room. Drew said he saw flames coming from the kitchen and grabbed Shadow and ran to a neighbor's house to call 911. And he says if it wasn't for his dog, he'd be dead by now. So that's always good news here about these dogs saving everybody's lives. And hidden dangers, this is from Arapahoe County, Colorado. Hidden dangers inside common garden flower. A local sheriff is warning parents about the dangers of a flower commonly found in gardens. Arapahoe County Sheriff Grayson Robinson is urging parents to be aware of the moonflower. The plant right now is out of bloom, but Robinson says that did not stop 4 teenagers from using the flower to get high this past week. Robin says that his deputies saw what they saw when they responded promptly, prompted him to send this warning. His warning. The deputies believed that the 4 teenagers, were probably beginning to go into an early coma stage or even seizure.
Want to get stoned?
Dr. Alvin Bronstein of the Rocky Mountain Poison and Drug Center says the most common effects of ingesting moonflower is hallucination. Bronstein says users often crack open the flower's seed pods and empty out the seeds. They say since the toxicity of the seeds is unknown, ingesting them is very dangerous. In extreme cases, people can have a seizure. They say there is an antidote for the seeds, but even that has its own side effects. The treatment is assessed on a case-by-case basis. There are roughly 900 similar cases last year. Wow, I never heard of that one. And then from Omaha, Nebraska, satellite service to track graffiti. Omaha plans to track graffiti with the help of satellites. Don't they have anything else better to do with these satellites than to track graffiti? Mayor Mike Fahey announced on Thursday that the city is contracted with Graffiti Trackers Incorporated. Now, when new graffiti pops up in Omaha, a digital photo with a global positioning marker will be taken. The photos will be sent off to the company where the graffiti will be analyzed. We'll be able to track the suspects of the crime and look at the areas while they're doing it, or where they're doing it. It's all computer-based, and it will be more timely and accurate. The service will cost the city $18,000 a year. Can't they use that money to hire a couple extra cops or one extra cop?
Holy God!
It's ridiculous. Omaha spends about $100,000 a year cleaning up graffiti. I think that money could be better served to hiring an extra cop, I think. So, and also from Oak Park, Michigan, police, they have a girl selling newspapers door-to-door, was kissed by a homeowner. Oh, that's nothing. That's so sweet, isn't it? A Oak Park, Michigan man is facing charges after police said he kissed a 16-year-old girl who was selling newspapers door-to-door. And he wanted to just give her a warm southern welcome, I guess, huh? The Warren girl knocked on 64-year-old Daku Wadi's door on Friday. When Wadi entered the door on Troy Street, the girl told him she was selling newspapers to win a scholarship, according to the Daily Tribune. Wadi grabbed her face and kissed her, the newspaper reported. The girl immediately called her newspaper subscription manager, who came to the home to confront Wadi, the paper reported. When the girl's manager arrived, Wadi got into a car and drove away. The next day, police noticed Wadi's car back in the driveway. Wadi was arrested and taken to the Oak Park Police Department, according to the paper's reports.
That ain't my belly button.
Well, that ain't my finger neither.
Well, it gets better because Wadi is an Iraqi national and U.S. citizen. He told police he did not remember. He did not remember kissing the girl. He was ticketed for assault and battery and later released on a $100 bond and pretrial set for November 1st. So, that's nice. That's just how the Iraqis greet people, I guess. And this is from WLS in Chicago. World largest store, don't forget, named after Sears. And this one is three hit by luggage cart at O'Hare. And three people were slightly injured when a blast from a jet engine knocked over a luggage cart at 8 in the morning on Thursday at O'Hare. No one was seriously injured. Two people were treated and released, and the third did not require treatment. A SkyWest regional jet out of Milwaukee was deplaning at gate F1 when a blast from a nearby jet pushed a baggage cart into three people walking on the tarmac. Two of the injured were passengers. I'm trying to figure this out. I used to live in Chicago. What are these passengers doing on the tarmac at O'Hare? I don't know. The third was a contract employee who was escorting the passengers. According to airport officials, pilots have to get clearance from a dispatcher to enter the gate areas where passengers deplane via a stairway. Yeah, I know. That's, I imagine that's going to be under investigation. What in the hell were the passengers doing on the tarmac? And the next one's from Plymouth, Indiana. Indiana girl diagnosed with rabies after bat bite. What's with these bats and these kids? State health officials say a 10-year-old Marshall County girl who was bitten by a rabid bat over the summer has rabies. The girl is a student at Triton School Corporation south of the South Bend area. Health officials say as many as 7 relatives of the girl may need treatment with rabies immune globulin. It's the state's first human case of rabies since 1959, State Health Commissioner Judith Monroe says. Rabies is rare, but nearly always fatal. Indiana State Department of Health spokeswoman Christine Garcia says the girl is in stable condition at an Indianapolis hospital. She was hospitalized in early October after being bitten in June. June, July, August, September, October. What's that? 5 months later. And muzzled by Kool-Aid Mod has joined the chat room. Okay, so we have Darth Pelosi is now in the chat room, and N40, and then Giorgio, muzzled by Kool-Aid Mod, and myself and the John. And also from Janesville, Wisconsin, a Janesville couple accused of neglecting 44 Siberian Huskies. A Janesville couple is charged with neglecting their 44 Siberian Husky dogs. A criminal complaint says Jerry Talley... Uh-oh. That doesn't sound like a husky. There we go. Jerry Talley told a Rock County Sheriff's deputy that conditions in his home had gotten so filthy that he slept outside in a tent when the weather was good. Authorities took 44 dogs from the home on September 18th after they investigated a complaint of too many dogs. No kidding. Deputies said that there was an overwhelming stench in the house because feces and urine covered the floors. Oh, that's nice. I think that was just their version of a Scotch Guard, I think. 41 huskies have been adopted. 41 of the huskies have been adopted or placed. The Tallies have asked the Rock County Humane Society to keep the remaining dogs for them, pending the outcome of their case.
What a fucking
so that leaves stink. Three of them left. They have to take care of three. I don't know if they can't take care of 44. Maybe they can take care of three of them. 46-year-old Jerry Talley and his 42-year-old ex-wife, Michelle Talley, are charged with obstructing and failing to provide proper shelter, food, and water for the dogs. I wonder why she's his ex-wife. And then we have Dodge County Sheriff from Horicon, Wisconsin, H-O-R-C-O-N, Horicon. Dodge County Sheriff says three hospitalized had eaten Jimson seeds. Oh, everybody's eating these seeds now. One teen had to be subdued with a taser gun. A companion was hiding in roadside weeds, and a third man wound up at the hospital with the other two. The cause, they ate seeds of the Jimson weed plant, also known as loco weed, a hallucinogenic and poisonous plant that can make a person feel red as a beet, dry as a bone, blind as a bat, and mad as a hatter. Wow, according to a report by the Anti-Drug Do It Now Foundation. The Dodge County Sheriff's Department says a deputy responded to a call of a broken-down vehicle Thursday night when the officer arrived. The 18-year-old driver from Adele became combative and finally was subdued with a taser. He was taken to the hospital, as were a 20-year-old Mayville man and a 22-year-old Juneau man, after officers learned they had eaten Jimson seeds. It's interesting. Early Friday, police in Horicon responded to a residence and found others who had eaten Jimson weed seeds. What is this going on up there? The sheriff says that apparently where the three had been partying the night before. So the sheriff wants to spread the word that any pleasurable effects of the Jimson seed weed are minor compared to the hazards of injecting any part of it. So according to the Do It Now Foundation's website, effects range all the way up to seizures, intense hallucinations, and cardiac arrest in extreme cases. Huh. So two cases in 1 week of people ingesting seeds from plants. Why don't they just do the old-fashioned way and sniff the paint, sniff the spray paint. That's the old-fashioned way of getting high. Now it is, anyway. Lancaster, Pennsylvania, former mayor among dozens of acid vandal victims. Former Lancaster Mayor Charlie Smithgall said he is among the dozens of city residents whose cars have been damaged by acid. The latest incident, seven cars parked along the 300 block of North Pine Street were hit Saturday night. Two of the vehicles were used for deliveries by Smithgall's pharmacy. Smithgall said repairs would cost about $1,000. He says they think it's just a cute thing to do, disrupt people's lives, but it's absolutely senseless and very expensive, said Smithgall. Lancaster police said more than 75 cars have been vandalized in acid in the past few months. So that's amazing, huh? It happened in our neighborhood where I live. A bunch of cars, tires were flattened. Over the weekend, I think Friday. My neighbors were all, everybody's up jacking their cars up in the street. I'm like, what the hell's going on? I'm like, what happened out here? Oh, somebody came along flattened all our tires. I'm like, thank God I got mine in the garage. Anyway, and also from Boston, man blames condo snub on blue-collar roots. Is he blonde roots or blue-collar roots? I don't know. It's a condo controversy that pits old Boston versus new Boston. A successful businessman claims his blue-collar roots are keeping him out of a Beacon Hill building. John Walsh, not John Walsh, America's Most Wanted Walsh, but different one. John Walsh epitomizes the great American success story. Walsh dropped out of college and went to beauty school, and now he's the sole owner and CEO of Elizabeth Grady Cosmetics, which brings in $25 million in annual revenue and has 40 stores in 40 states. But there's one part of Walsh's American dream he is not able to fulfill. He negotiated to buy a 2,200 square foot unit in a co-op apartment building at 68 Beacon Street last year. And he was set to begin renovations and move in until he met with the co-op's board of directors. After a series of meetings and interviews with board members, Walsh said, in essence, he is rejected with no concrete reason given. The chairman of the co-op board, who Walsh says occupies the entire top floor of the posh Beacon Street building, is Jonathan Winthrop, a direct descendant of John Winthrop, who served as governor of the Massachusetts Bay Colony beginning in 1630. Wow, that's incredible. And was reelected 12 times. Walsh says he feels the co-op board, their interactions are unconscionable, immoral, and possibly illegal. Now, I hear about that all the time. People are trying to move in New York into these buildings, and even celebrities. They think they're high and mighty until they go up against these co-op boards, and they say, nope, we don't want you living here because it will disrupt our lives. See ya. So, I mean, that's part of the thing. You're going to go into a co-op. You better be willing to follow the rules and everything. So, and what else? I'm trying to get this other table to come up on this damn Time article. But I'll get it for next week, and we'll be a week late, but what the hell. And I can't get this next one open up here. Let me see. It drives me nuts, because I just had the stupid thing, and the idiot at work had to throw it away on me. Kill him. And scientists discover a cloak of invisibility, ? Scientists are boldly going where only fiction has gone before, to develop a cloak of invisibility. In this first successful experiment, researchers from the United States and England were able to cloak a copper cylinder. It's like a mirage, where heat causes the bending of light rays and cloaks the road ahead behind an image of the sky. We have built an artificial mirage that can hide something from would-be observers in any direction, said cloak designer David Schurig, a research associate in Duke University's Electrical and Computer Engineering Department. In this case, researchers used microwaves to try to detect the cylinder. Like light and radar waves, microwaves bounce off objects, making them invisible to instruments and creating a shadow that can be detected. The new work points the way for an improved version of that could hide people and objects from visible sight. Conceptually, the chance of adapting the concept to visible light is good, blah, blah, blah. So basically, they're taking the Star Trek stuff and turning it into something for real life. So that's interesting. It's amazing. Roddenberry turned out to be a damn genius. Everything he's did in Star Trek when he first started is now they're starting to come to life. You know, these cell phones now look like, Kirk's thing. You can communicate her. Hell, they even have those things on their hands like they did in Babylon 5. So, and what else? This is disgusting. This is from Shirley, Long Island in New York. Teens accused of sodomizing disabled man with plumber's snake. It is disgusting and for many unimaginable. A developmentally disabled man working in a bowling alley on Long Island is viciously attacked by two teenagers with a plumber's snake. Where do these kids get these ideas from? Absolutely. And on Thursday morning, one of the suspects was walked out of the 70th precinct when he used profanity to say he didn't do it. The other teen was arraigned on Wednesday. Police called the attack depraved. A 21-year-old maintenance worker, developmentally disabled, was followed into the men's bathroom at the Shirley Lanes bowling alley and sodomized. Investigators say the Sunday, Sunday night attack... It was the work of the 19-year-old Stephen Rodriguez and 17-year-old Michael Lunsford.
He's a fag.
Officials say one man held the victim down in the bathroom while the other sexually assaulted him with a plumber's tool, a snake used to clear drains. I bet. The victim was found on the floor bleeding with severe internal injuries. Ugh, horrible. Those things are terrible. Where'd they come up with stuff like this? Crazy. And I may put them in jail and have them get sodomized by some big prisoner named Rufus in there. Maybe him and them and Skilling could do like a four-way orgy with these prisoners.
I have a feeling some bad stuff is about to go down.
And then also from Lake Mary, Florida, gym members targeted by Seminole County thief. A woman strolled into a Seminole County gym and asked if she could observe a class and then did more than just watch. Police said the woman who targeted young mothers and her pocketbooks at the My Gym in Lake Mary did it more than once in broad daylight. She said it was directly, they say it was directly after class when the parents opened their purses, and we called the police right away. But the woman had already gone over to the 7-Eleven and the Target, said the gym teacher. 6 weeks ago, the woman got away with cash, credit cards, jewelry, and anything else she could grab. Surveillance cameras caught her using the credit cards at area stores. The My Gym posted warning signs and everything else. Apparently, she's going to the purses while the mothers and the women there are having their backs turned or they're off doing their exercises. So that's interesting. And what else? Next one is from Louisville, Kentucky. Report details church's payments in sex abuse cases. An in-house audit shows that the Roman Catholic Archdiocese of Louisville spent nearly $760,000 to settle lawsuits and cover other legal expenses in the fiscal year that ended June 30th. Since April of 2002, the Archdiocese has paid $29.7 million to resolve lawsuits stemming from sexual abuse by some clergy. The last of the suits was concluded in April. The audit found that church revenues exceeded the nearly $24.5 million spent last year for the Archdiocese headquarters and 21 agencies. Holy cow, these churches are huge, you know? Crazy. And you do have an art table coming up now from the Time story. The population, apparently 80% of the U.S. population lives in a metropolitan area. The top five population centers are numbered. And of course, New York is number one. And where are we at here? They have, it's very interesting. So you get a chance, go to time.com or pick up the Time magazine, and it's really it's an eye opener. It's about where everybody's living. But Las Vegas has got they got little spikes all across the country. Denver's in there. Of course, New York is the highest. Philadelphia, for example, the metropolitan area is 5,800,000 people. The New York metropolitan area is 18 million people. Chicago, 9,400,000 in Chicago. And where else? Jump around. Apparently the least one is they also have an area by the least populated areas by county. Apparently, in the contiguous United States, is a county in Texas called Loving County. It is the least populated county in the lower 48 states with 62 residents per square mile. So that's, if anyone looking for wide open spaces, move to Loving County in Texas, which is on the West Texas and New Mexico border, the way it looks. And what else we have here? L.A. doesn't have a spike here. Yes, 12,923,000. There, and Seattle doesn't have any spikes. So, and the entire state of Wyoming, 509,300, has fewer people than the city of Harrisburg, Pennsylvania metropolitan area. So that's interesting. So I think with that we have Michael J.W. Stickings on. We'll bring him on with the music interlude.
To seniors, we understand how important prescription drug coverage. So prescription drugs will be an integral part of the Medicare plan.
And Michael J.W. Stickings, are you there, sir?
Hey, Sean, how are you?
Welcome back to the program.
Nice to be back.
No problem. You seem a little quiet today. What's the matter?
Oh, you know, we're getting close to the election. I think the nerves are frayed. What can I tell you?
You know what? I'm not going to, you know, I've been stressing about it for a year now. Whatever's going to happen is going to happen. You know, I've just got to go with the ride. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, that's true. Absolutely.
There's always an early election to, we can fight another day, as they say, right?
That's true. That's true. Yeah. And sometimes it's more fun being in opposition.
Yeah, we can always just criticize.
Like, I often wonder, you know, I want the Democrats to win. I want them to take back both houses of Congress. I want them to take back the presidency. But honestly, what then becomes of me?
Hmm.
You know, I wonder what would happen to liberal bloggers generally, or pro-democratic bloggers. I mean, what happens when Democrats control everything again? I don't know.
That's
interesting.
True.
We'll have to see what happens, obviously.
True. You wonder what's going to happen. Yeah, that's a good scenario. Yeah, interesting scenario to look at.
Look at it this way. I mean, obviously, every day I watch The Daily Show with Jon Stewart.
What would he do?
What would he do without Republicans to fight against, to bump up against? You know, I doubt he'd have the same sort of. I doubt his sarcasm, his satire would work as well on Democrats. So.
It's interesting. It's a very interesting prospect there. We don't know what would happen. Same with Limbaugh. Everybody thought Limbaugh would go away after Bush got in. Clinton went away, but the Limbaugh's managed to survive and thrive as well. So I mean, maybe.
And you know what? I figure even if Democrats take back the White House and Congress, Republicans will still be up to their usual dirty tricks.
Mm-hmm.
So there's going to be a lot for us to write about, a lot for us to talk about.
Mm-hmm.
But let's get there first, right?
So. True. As much as I want the Democrats again, I also want more choice. So I always like to see a third party come up, at least be some kind of a counterbalance to the other two. I mean, it's just especially this year has been pretty much resounding that we need more choices here. And somebody's got to do it. I know a lot of people have been talking. I don't know how you feel about this. That they are saying that Michael Bloomberg, he might run as an independent for president. I think he's realistic. He doesn't think he'll make it. But apparently he's made announcements. He'll give away most of his fortune before he dies, and he's probably possibly looking at maybe really starting up doing a third party right. Not like Perot. Basically start it and then leave it alone.
Yeah, I mean I've heard that too. I mean it would be interesting if the U.S. developed a third party that was large enough not just to run presidential campaigns but also congressional campaigns and gubernatorial campaigns and so on. But I mean, aside from the occasional sort of third party or independent like a John Anderson or the former governor of Minnesota, the wrestler whose name is escaping me right now.
Jesse Ventura.
That's right, Jesse Ventura. Or a Pat Buchanan. It's awfully tough. And I think the money is such a huge factor, right? I mean, unless there is significant campaign finance reform, and I'm not just talking about sort of banning specific donations. I'm talking about putting caps on spending.
Mm-hmm.
I just don't see how a third party can get into it. Bloomberg could spend a lot of money, but I mean, it would be his money, and he would spend it on himself. Beyond that, I just don't see how the infrastructure could ever be there for a major third party to challenge the other two.
True. But I mean, if Bloomberg, pours his money, he's got, what, $30, $40 billion? I mean, if he pours...
He's got a lot of money,
yeah. Yeah. I mean, he might be able to pull a Perot and really have a legal team set up and everything else. Just start to build the framework. I mean, he's going to be, 58, I believe. So he's got, maybe 30 strong years. And who knows, by any time he could have a strong third party up and running.
That's true.
Yeah.
He's probably too short to be president.
I don't know.
I think Dukakis proved you have to be over a certain... I may be, I'm 5'10", 5'11". I may be too short as well. You have to be a certain height.
Yeah. Well, did you see Bush with O'Reilly? I mean, O'Reilly was towering over Bush.
Yeah, he is fairly big, isn't he?
Yeah, I mean, it's incorrect. I didn't realize how... I know O'Reilly was tall, but in comparison to Bush, I mean, just, it's incredible. Well, I remember during the whole election with Kerry, they made a big deal over the rostrum, how high, they want... when they put the pictures side by side on the screen, they didn't want Kerry to look like, because Kerry's taller than Bush, but they didn't want it to look like that. Look how he's talking down to Bush. So they had to elevate Bush's rostrum, so when they put him on screen, it looked like him and Kerry were the same height.
That's right.
Yeah. So I thought
kind of reminds me of that Saturday Night Live skit where the Michael Dukakis is sort of raises himself up slowly.
Mm-hmm.
I think it was Carvey plays George Bush, and I forget who it is who plays Michael Dukakis. Yeah, I mean this is it, right? It's politics as image. So anyway, I don't know. I don't know. I mean, I hope maybe that there will be some kind of challenge to the two major parties, but. Mm-hmm. For the time being, we have these two parties, and unfortunately, voters have to make a choice between those two parties. Personally, I don't think it is too much of a choice this time around. I mean, yeah. I think it's pretty clear which party should be given a chance to govern again. The polls are sort of looking somewhat favorable right now, so it's going to come down to turnout, I think. I mean, everything is on the ground right now. It's which side gets more people out, mm-hmm. right? Because turnout is so low for U.S. elections, and particularly for midterm elections.
Yeah, it's amazing. Hey, have you seen the new, I hate to harp on this, but it's a fascinating look at the United States. The latest Time magazine has a United Stats of America.
I haven't seen that.
Oh, if you get a chance, it's very, very interesting. I meant to bring it in, but I was at work and some clown threw it away on me, but it's very interesting. It's got a breakdown of everything. The Time, when they really put something together, they really do it well. I mean, they apparently they're going to do this every year. So I urge everybody to really get it or read it online and look at it, because it really gives you a snapshot of the United States. And where, you know, they say, you know, as much as we like to claim United States is, you know, red and blue and everything else, more like they say we're more of a purple country, you know.
Yeah.
So it's fascinating. You see the blue, the solid blues, and like in, you know, of course, New York and New York City and Chicago, and basically Cook County in Chicago, in Illinois, because the rest of the state, you know, once you get it further away from in Chicago, the more conservative it is. But yeah, since Chicago's got so many people, it sways the whole state. Yeah. You know, but it's very interesting. And I don't know if you watched it. They had, MSNBC had the whole day was devoted to the midterms.
Yeah,
you saw there's fat. I like when they do that, because it's just, if you're a junkie, a political junkie, you sit there all day, because they, you know, talk to every race, every, you know, it's amazing, and they concentrate on that Harold Ford Jr. Senate race in Tennessee and how the GOP ran that terrible ad against him. How do you think that's going to turn out?
Well, yeah, I mean, Tennessee is an interesting place because you know, from the very beginning, the Republicans have been running a smear campaign against Ford.
Mm-hmm.
There's a website, and I probably shouldn't publicize it, but it's called fancyford.com.
Yeah.
I remember seeing it, I think it was earlier this year, and it sort of suggests that Ford is sort of some kind of, I don't even know what the word is. I mean, pimp is the word that comes to mind, actually. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's sort of how he's portrayed.
Yeah. Or I know, I saw the ad too. They make him look like he's like a playboy, you know. They're trying to make it a racial thing. He's playing, you know, he had this young blonde on the ad. She was, you know, with her, call me Harold, you know, like a hooker. You know, they make it look like she's naked. And, you know, it's like, oh, come on. You know, because he's single and he's 30, whatever he is, 37 years old.
Yeah.
So now they're not really playing the race card by name, but they're kind of hinting, you know, he's, you know, what's this black guy doing horsing around with this white blonde? Yeah, basically, that's what they're coming at, right?
Well, I mean, they still play the race card, even if it doesn't appear that way. It's similar to the campaign George Allen is running in Virginia, right? I mean, he was criticized everywhere else for using the word macaca to describe a staffer for his opponent's campaign, and yet, you know, you wonder that sort of thing probably doesn't play that badly in certain parts of Virginia.
Mm-hmm.
Where a person of color is, in fact, some kind of foreigner. I don't know what's going to happen. The latest poll number I saw was was Ford up by 2 points in Tennessee. So, you know, we're talking about a lot of races that are still within the margin of error, even if they're tipping sort of Democratic at this point.
Mm-hmm.
You know, again, not being down there, I'm not familiar with the local elements of Tennessee politics. Ford is in a tough position, though, because he's, you know, Iraq is clearly the issue that is driving the Democratic resurgence this year. But at the same time, Tennessee is still a fairly conservative state.
Mm. Well, people forget he's running for Frist's seat as well.
Yeah, that's exactly right, right. And you know, it's not like Democratic presidential candidates have done terribly well in Tennessee, right? I mean, Al Gore didn't do very well in Tennessee.
No, I bet you he's regretting that. I mean, good grief. If he just would have won his own damn state, he would have he would have been president, you know?
Yeah, I know, exactly. So, I mean, Ford has to be very careful when he addresses cultural wedge issues like same-sex marriage. And my understanding is that he's sort of playing it as a centrist, Mark Warner-like Democrat. We'll see. I mean, again, this is going to come down whether it's Missouri, whether it's Montana, whether it's Virginia, Tennessee, New Jersey. We're talking about six or seven races that are probably going to come down to the very end, the bitter end, and it really will be a matter of which side gets out the vote better than the other.
Yeah, actually, in the chat room, they're talking about Darth Pelosi is from Tennessee. Apparently, he says Ford is from a corrupt political family, and Ford, he should be in jail, and so should the rest of his family. They're all, I don't know. I mean, they've all got problems, you know. But still, I like to see, you know, an African American, you know, get in there from Tennessee. Excuse me. You know, I think, you know, it's about time, don't you?
absolutely. I mean, I certainly think that the Senate could use an injection of diversity.
Mm-hmm.
It's a body made up largely of fairly wealthy white males, Christian mm-hmm. males, and I think, you know, someone like Ford could bring a different perspective to it. Although, again, it's not like Ford is an African American, but he does come from a well established political family in Tennessee and has a fair amount of money himself. So, you know, it's not like he's coming from a poor, insignificant background. But I would certainly like to see him win. I mean, I think it goes without saying. I think he'd bring diversity to the Democratic Party, diversity to the Senate. And it's interesting, though, that he's being that his critics are sort of presenting him as a corrupt insider, because the same thing is happening to Menendez in New Jersey. And I used to live in New Jersey, and Menendez is from Hudson County, which is the county in northeast New Jersey, of which Jersey City is probably the major city, and incredibly corrupt. I mean, you can just imagine, right? Old style New Jersey politics, and Kane, who's running against him, the son of the former governor, is leveling charges of corruption against him, and campaign ads essentially focus on the fact that Menendez is part of this political sort of old school political system, very corrupt system in Hudson County. So maybe it suggests that Republicans have really nothing left to run on, because they don't seem to be running on the issues. Right? They seem to be running on character when they can, on fear when they can. And again, it's going to come down to whether they can get their base out to vote or not.
Yeah, actually, Darth Pelosi is saying about the black Republican in Maryland, Steele. I haven't heard much about him. Just I know of Harold Ford from being a congressman, and a lot of people are. You know, I mentioned to you in an email that people are pounding the drums for Barack Obama to run for president.
Yeah.
And I'd rather see Harold Ford run for president than Barack Obama. Or run as then you hear whispers today about maybe Hillary will pick Barack Obama as her VP. I said, well, I'd rather see Harold Ford again, or at least he's been, been in the Congress, hopefully he'd be in the Senate. He knows, Washington politics and all that. Barack Obama, I'm from where he's from. Yeah, I mean, don't get me wrong, but he's just started out. I mean, I'd rather see him get through a couple elections first,
Yeah, I mean, it's interesting. I think when Mark Warner pulled out last week.
Yeah, what about that?
There was a good piece by Ryan Lizza, who's been following him closely at the New Republic, and he mentioned that the writing had been on the wall for some time. Warner just didn't seem to have the enthusiasm for the job.
He didn't have the charisma. I've seen him speak a few times. While his speeches were fine, he didn't touch you emotionally like Bill Clinton used to rally up. And who I saw the other night on Larry King was Jesse Jackson. He is another one. He knows how to talk. Jesse Jackson's had his problems. He's like a fly to TV cameras. To the spotlight and everything else. But still, I mean, hearing him talk and speak, lower classes and all that. Just it's wow. I mean, he's really the guy. A politician in these days with TV, they can their charisma can come out of the screen and grab you.
Oh yeah, no, don't get me wrong. I mean, I've never been a Jesse Jackson supporter, but I mean, I think he brings a great deal to our public discourse, and he is, although I think his views on race are sometimes not always terribly attractive. I think the fact that he comes out and speaks for the poor, the disenfranchised, the forgotten, essentially, speaks to what he's really all about. I mean, that's probably why I like John Edwards a great deal too, because he's pretty much the only national candidate who addresses poverty, which tends to get lost in the fray because everyone talks about terrorism and tax cuts and so forth. But no, I agree. Jackson's a very appealing character. I mean, I certainly listen to him when he speaks. I wouldn't necessarily support him, but he's got a lot to say, certainly.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I'm from Chicago, and his family has had quite an effect on that city, and now they're saying that his son, Jesse Jackson Jr., is a congressman, is probably going to run for mayor of Chicago against Daley. And the
Jackson Daley.
Oh yeah, everybody's been wanting this for years. Finally, those two families are going to go at it. I don't know. Then they hear rumblings that Daley may not run for another term, because he's been hit with a lot of scandal. Plus, he's been in there for however long. He's been in 17 years and everything else. Maybe he might just give it up. But others want to see this, the locking of the horns of these two families.
I guess it'll come down to who the dead people vote for.
I've been telling you, they've called politics wise, they've called Chicago to Beirut by the lake. It might just live up to that title if the Jackson family and the Dailies decide to go at it, because I don't think we've seen a fight like this in at least our generation here in the United States.
It would be an exciting race.
It would be a struggle. It's like, say, have you ever seen Hillary run against like Jeb Bush? I think that'd be
the Bush v. Clinton thing would be phenomenal.
Yeah, so we'll see what happens with that. Yeah. But again, Darth John or the John is saying that he thinks Obama needs to wait a while. I agree. Obama needs to wait a couple terms, or get one term done in the Senate before you run for president. And there's just something about him. I don't like him. I don't know what it is. I mean, I hope that people don't say, oh, because he's no. It's just something about him. He's got that ego about him. You can see him because his ego's starting to inflate. He's strutting around, waving at people. Yeah. It's like, oh, here comes the ego. Whereas like Harold Ford and even that Richard Steele from Maryland, you got their egos in check. They're talking to the people, with ideas, and their charisma comes across. Whereas Obama, I saw the charisma in the convention, but I haven't seen it since.
Yeah, I mean, he sometimes.
Yep.
He sometimes comes out. He says the right things, and he's extremely appealing because he has a compelling personal story. He speaks extremely well. He talks of reconciling the two Americas, essentially. I think the problem, though, is that whether we like it or not, the U.S. is dominated by partisan politics.
Mm-hmm.
As much as we talk about. The mighty middle, the silent majority, the rise of centrism. As much as we would like to see that, why can't these two sides just get together? Think of John Stewart's tirade on Crossfire not too long ago. Why is politics so divisive? Why can't the two sides come together? Why can't there be some kind of pursuit of the common good? But the reality is, you have Democrats versus Republicans, and they don't like each other.
Mm-hmm.
Obama, again, I think says the right things because, unlike other politicians, he doesn't necessarily go out there and spew the latest talking points.
Mm-hmm.
He doesn't say what you expect him to say, right? So he will criticize the Democratic Party for not being welcoming enough to people of faith. And he's seen as widely courageous for saying something like that. Or he'll go on, meet the press, and praise George Bush for something he's done. Or he will criticize the Netroots, the Daily Kos progressives,
mm-hmm.
For being too partisan on the left. But in reality, that doesn't work. It doesn't work. I mean, how do you try to govern that way?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I suppose as president, he could try to govern that way, where he would try to be the kind of the bridge that brings the two sides together. But I mean, realistically speaking, I just don't see how that can possibly happen. And there was a good post at MyDD the other day, arguing that he should get in the race. Why should he get in the race? Not because MyDD, which is one of these activist blogs, not because Obama should win, but because it's time to bring him down off his pedestal. It's mm-hmm. time to hold him accountable. He has this kind of rock star image about him,
mm-hmm.
but we don't really know what he stands for on so many things, right?
Yeah.
I mean, you can say all these wonderful things about how we need to come together and there are I have people who believe in God in blue states and so on and so forth, all the things he said in that speech at the convention. But what does that mean in practical policy terms?
True. I mean,
right, what are you going to do? What is your budget going to look like? What is your stance going to be on stem cell research? What is mm-hmm. your stance going to be on abortion? What are you going to do about Iraq? I mean, in a way, it's a matter of bringing him in and saying, okay, you're Barack Obama. A lot of people like you.
Mm-hmm.
Now answer these questions for us.
Yeah. I don't know if you saw it today. Apparently at the White House, they must have lost my invitation, but they had the talk radio day at the White House. Apparently they set up tents and everything, and they brought all these conservative radio talk show hosts to the White House and everything. They've done this before, and I don't know if they're you know, obviously they're trying to, you know, turn the possible landslide around on them, you know, for the GOP. But I don't know. I don't think it's going to work. I think the people, the American people, are fed up with Iraq, especially now with that soldier, you know, missing, and you know, who knows what's going to happen to him. You know, this isn't, and now Bush is backing off on this thing about staying the course. Now he's, you know, going to change the course apparently, and all, you know, and then James Baker is coming through with his report from the Iraq study group. And, you know, I think that's a last gasp. What do you think?
Well, first off, I wish you'd been there. Yeah. I think that would have been fantastic. You and Sean Hannity and Michael Medved and the rest of them clowns.
I mean,
look, I have one of my blogger acquaintances is a blogger named Sister Told You, who's a radio talk show host in North Carolina.
Hmm.
And she's one conservative that I like and read and respect and so forth. And she disagreed with me vehemently to a post that I wrote at the reaction, saying that, you know, this is actually an attempt on Bush's part to reach out and to try to reconnect, and you know, all those wonderful things. To me, it smacked of desperation.
Yeah.
To me, it was like, we're going to lose this election unless we get the base out to vote. Who's the base? The people that listen to these clowns.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, all of Sean Hannity reaches out to millions of people every day. Sean Hannity needs to get on the radio and tell those people to go out and vote Republican. That's how they're going to win. Like I said, it's not the issues. It's turnout.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Right? So it's an act of desperation. As for Iraq, it's simply unbelievable. Well, I shouldn't say that. It's believable because I know the kind of people we're dealing with. But for Bush to come out and say that stay the course was never their agenda, and for Dan Bartlett, the White House counselor, to come out the next day and repeat the same lie,
mm-hmm.
is outrageous. And how do you do that in an age of YouTube and The Daily Show and Think Progress, who pull up all these quotes? I've been writing about this a lot on The Reaction recently because I think we need to pound the issue. Mm-hmm. We need to talk about Iraq more than we do, even, and we certainly need to talk about it going into the election. But as less than 2 months ago, Bush gave a speech in Utah in which he talked about staying the course.
Yeah.
And we have the transcript. I found it at the White House's website.
Yeah. Well, they changed the subject. You're not supposed to be able to pull that stuff up and hit them with it. Same thing.
They try to change the subject, and they try to. And there's no other way I can put it. I hate to use these words, but on this case, in this case, Bush is a liar.
Ooh. That's strong words there, yes.
Yeah, yeah. But between you and me, he's a liar. I mean, how can you come out and say stay the course was never part of the agenda when time and time again you said stay the course, stay the course, stay the course, and you contrasted stay the course with cut and run.
Well, that's see, now they'll come out. It's all depending on what your definition of stay the course means. You know, which
exactly.
course. If they change the course, then that's the course they want to stay on, not the course that you know, then it's not the course they originally wanted to stay the course. You know that they changed the course? You're supposed to know when they change the course, right?
you know what? And all that tells me is that the Bush administration on an issue of this magnitude
mm-hmm.
is just like Clinton was when he was answering questions about Monica Lewinsky.
Yeah. Yeah.
The big difference is thousands of Americans weren't killed because of Monica Lewinsky.
Yeah.
Tens of thousands or hundreds of thousands of Iraqis weren't killed because Monica Lewinsky got down on her knees in the Oval Office.
Mm.
Right? It's happening this time.
Yeah.
And I'll tell you something. James Baker is going to come out with his report after the election. Mm. And you know what it's going to say?
Get the hell out of here.
We got to get out of here.
Yeah. Yeah, that's what he's going
to
say.
We got to find a way to get out.
That's right. That's right. And then what's he going to do? I mean, you know, is he going to listen to Baker, you know, his daddy's friend, or is he going to, you know, listen to Cheney, you know, to keep going and, you know, in this? Well, then and McCain says they need we need thousands of more boots on the ground in Iraq.
Yeah,
so.
I wrote a post on McCain over the weekend.
Yeah.
I was blogging at a place called the Carpetbagger Report, mm-hmm. and also at my own site. And I took McCain to task for this because there are no troops. There are no troops to send.
Yeah, it's true.
And even if you do find troops and send them, how are the Iraqis going to respond to even more American troops?
I don't know. Yeah,
it's not going to go over well.
You can't
enforce peace at gunpoint, which is essentially what McCain is suggesting.
Mm.
It's just not going to work.
No, he.
And so ultimately, Baker is going to come out and say, we got to get out of here. And you can see it in the papers today already. It's coming from the UK, and it's coming from the US. The Iraqis are going to be ready in about a year to 18 months.
Yeah.
It's interesting how this just came out today.
Yeah. And
they're setting themselves up to get out. Yeah. And they're going to say it was our plan all along.
Yeah, or they'll have the, what's his name, the prime minister, you know, because they say, it was somebody else said, we haven't been asked to leave yet. You know, then they'll trot somebody out. Oh, please leave. You know what I mean? Then they'll use that. As, you know, oh, now they told us we could leave. We could leave now. You know what I mean?
Yeah, they're ready now. Yeah. Maliki said we could go. Iraqi security forces are prepared. Okay, we can do it now. Yeah. Again, they're going to find every which way to spin this.
Yeah.
But, you know, the reality is, as you and I have said many, many times, this is a war that has been so grossly mismanaged and continues to be so grossly mismanaged.
Mm.
And when the boy in the bubble in the White House, uses the same old catchphrases of cut and run and stay the course, you just wonder, how is this possible? What kind of leadership is this?
True. Well, Michael,
people are dying every day.
True.
This is the kind of leadership that is running a war.
Yeah. Well, Michael, on that point, that wonderful uplifting note.
Wow, I don't know how I'm going to sleep tonight.
We'll let you go, and then because we're supposed to have you on last week, so we'll bring you on next week to make up for that last week. We had a
Sean, that'd be great. I look forward to it.
Very good.
And just pick up where we left off.
To be continued, as they say, right?
Absolutely.
Thank you very much, sir.
Thanks a lot. Have a good night.
You too. Thank you.
Bye.
And that was Michael J.W. Stickings with our political discussion. And now we'll take our break for the second hour. And when we come back, Dr. Koenig Rules, the crazy professor, will be on to talk about WHO and Galactica. And then following him will be the mad rocket scientist, Dr. Net Ranger, to talk about pop culture. And we'll get into our contest we'll have. And we'll be right back.
Las Vegas, Nevada. You're listening to LV Rocks. Noise from Vegas.
And welcome back to the second hour of Subject to Discussion. Once again, live on LVRocks.com as well as on S2DRadio.com. And that was the producer in charge, Mr. Consular, soon to be departing on his European vacation with Chevy Chase. So we wish him well on that. And once again, it's Tuesday night in Las Vegas. It's time for Subject to Discussion time. We're having a little chat in the chat room. Talking about the fall series, I suggest they send over some Battlestar Galactica and Who DVDs over to Iraq to calm everybody down. And talking about which show is the best show on TV, Heroes, Lost, Jericho, Criminal Minds. Criminal Minds beat Lost last week. Lost is how many years old now? So, I mean, and before we bring on the crazy professor, I did want to go through this little thing from Time Magazine. For every 1,000 Americans, 568 live in the state in which they were born. For every 1,000 Americans, 455 are employed. 420 voted in the last presidential election. Horrible number. That's less than half of the country. 405 are married. 341 drive to work alone out of every 1,000 Americans. 173 speak a language other than English at home. I speak fluent Klingon at home. 159 out of every 1,000 Americans have no health insurance. Disgusting number there. 126 live in poverty. 122 are 65 and older. For every 1,000 Americans, 115 claim Irish ancestry. Out of every 1,000 Americans, 23 are in prison, in jail, on parole, or on probation. Out of every 1,000 Americans, 8 are grandparents caring for their grandchildren. For every 1,000 Americans, 5 are in active duty military, and 1 is in a kindergarten. So that's interesting numbers there. So I think with that, we'll be joined by the crazy professor with our Who and Galactica review. I see him exiting the TARDIS. The mad, crazy professor, Dr. Koenig Rules. Are you there, sir?
Yes, I am.
Ah, welcome to
the TARDIS.
What? You're out of the TARDIS?
I'm out of the TARDIS.
Yeah. With Rose? How about that blonde that was on there from Friday? What's her name? The girl's name from the... I think the doctor was smitten with her, huh?
Oh, that was...
What was her name?
Madame...
Pompadour.
There you go. There you go. Yeah. And I thought it was an outstanding episode, huh?
It was. I think that was one of the best episodes of Tennant's first season as the Doctor.
Yeah, Raynette was her name.
Yes.
Raynette. And it was excellent. I like when they do those period episodes because they do the whole yellow hue and everything else. Basically, the costumes were incredibly detailed, you know?
Yes, and you sort of found out by the end of the episode why that spaceship from the future was so interested in Madame Pompadour from the past, and it was because it was the SS Pompadour.
Yeah, when they pulled away at the end, it was named after her, huh?
That's right.
Yeah.
That's right. So that's why they were so interested in her. What I thought was really fascinating was how the Doctor started to have this relationship with her.
Mm-hmm. I'm such a naughty.
You know, I mean, you would never expect Chris Eccleston, the previous Doctor, to be doing what David Tennant's doing as the Doctor.
Yeah, yeah.
You know? I mean, and it's just every, I think, female's wish to have this knight in shining armor come crashing through and rescuing her. And he came through that mirror or whatever with a horse and everything like that. I mean, the Doctor seems to be like the knight in shining armor for her.
Oh, yeah.
Uh-oh. What's that?
That's the sonic, what do you call it? The screwdriver.
Sonic screwdriver.
There you go.
Yes.
He's using his sonic screwdriver.
On the chick, probably.
He's using the sonic screwdriver on Lady Pompadour?
How about, when she was in trouble, she looks through the fireplace. I thought that was cool. Like, Doctor, I need you. And then then after the music, he's looking underneath the bed, and he comes up, and the thing is...
That android or that robot.
The robot, yeah. And the mask was pretty cool. Yeah. I mean, it was a good episode. I liked it.
I'm trying to recall because...
And they're French.
I tend to think they cut something out. Did they show the eye and the heart in the ship? There was like an eyeball.
Yeah, they did. They showed the heart. They opened the panel.
Heart too.
Yeah, yeah, they.
Okay,
yeah,
they were recycling the parts of the people.
Yeah, they showed
okay,
the heart.
All right, I walked out of the room then at that point.
Were you disgusted?
What? Was I disgusted? Yeah. Oh, no. This is a person who's seen Reanimator and Bride of Reanimator, so no, I wasn't disgusted by body parts.
Oh, okay. No, because I saw the hearts, and they're reusing the body parts to keep the ship running, apparently, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's like
Mickey too. Mickey's now one of the companions.
Yeah, Ricky.
For a little bit.
They really never explain why. When he, they did it a few times when he goes through the.
Oh, the fireplace and it does the whole Batman thing.
Yeah, he goes to the other side and he comes back and it's like it could be months
years later.
They never explain why did they? I didn't get it. I don't know.
Yeah, what was that all about? That was a good thing.
It was cool,
that
but they never kind of explain why.
It's probably time distortion effect. You know, I mean, he's a Time Lord, so the Time Lord doesn't sense the distortions.
I still don't see why they can't go back in time.
Yeah,
because that's the whole point. I don't get the part where, well, we can't go back in time, but we can. It's like they're on a time machine and they came in a time machine.
Yeah,
which is kind of
we took Rose back, remember, to save her father, and then Al got messed up, remember?
And he's weeping at the end that she's dead. I'm like, well, you just go back in time, dude. You got a time machine.
Well, you know what? They just did that to produce some drama there.
Well, doesn't he have to abide by the Prime Directive, or he can't? Oh, no, that's something else.
No, that's Star Trek.
Doesn't that govern all the sci-fi directive. Shows?
I think what they tried to do was just, in a way, with a lot of television series, they have to condense time to such an incredible degree. And with this story, what they wanted to do was show that the Doctor was there while she was growing up as a girl and then as an adolescent and then as an adult, and they only had 45 minutes to do it in. So they just stretched a little bit of the time out there so that or condensed it in
this what's with
so
these?
Then you could see that the doctor had a relationship.
Now, Invincor is saying the one scene that was cut by Sci-Fi was where the doctor found the way the horse got onto the ship.
And he the horse just appeared
showed
there,
up
right,
out of nowhere.
All of a sudden,
I'm like, where did the horse come from on the ship? I don't know. And then he went out the door that the horse came into it, and it's when he was outside in France.
Right.
Yeah.
That's right. That's right.
Invincor is on top of this.
Yeah, they are cutting about 2 minutes out of each episode.
Yeah, Invincor is excellent. You know, like he runs that Doctor Who website, which now probably the defunct official fan Doctor Who website with Gallifrey One closing down. So, was it? What's your website, Invincor? DoctorWhoFAQ.com, I think it is. So we'll plug that.
Okay.
And do you have a website to plug, Koenig?
Do I have a website to plug?
anything?
I don't have any website.
Oh, when your book comes out, you have to have a website about your book. When you do your
the book is progressing. We're actually involved in doing more Who Battlestar Galactica panels at the Pop Culture Conference in Boston.
Wow, Pop Culture! You gotta include Media Boulevard in that Pop Culture Conference, huh?
That's true.
Yeah,
that's true.
And the big news is actually Media Boulevard is coming to Las Vegas to have a little confab here. So
good.
Yeah,
good.
Interesting. Yeah, I don't know if I'll be invited. I was invited for the Daily Coast thing here. Anyway, back to Doctor Who.
Yeah.
And the Clockwork Androids and Rose
the
and
Clockwork
Mickey.
Clockwork Androids. That's very good.
Yeah, and Rose and Mickey are taken prisoner. And
yeah, Rose didn't have a big part in this, did she?
Kind of, because he left her there, but she was held prisoner. And
it seems to me like she's dealing with other women.
Yeah,
that the doctor is interested in the last two episodes.
Yeah, because he sent her to talk to her about why the doctor and everything else. And then then she was held captive, and then the doctor came and saved. He was drunk or something. He came with a tie in his head, and he poured the wine on top of the head of the one android and stopped him. It was a good episode. I like it when they do these period pieces.
The time period.
I love it.
I like them, especially when they introduce horror, like the one with the child.
Yeah.
Last
you my mommy? Yeah, you my mommy?
Mommy, are you my mommy?
It was good, though. Did you like it, Con?
Are you my mommy?
Yeah, did you like it? It was pretty good.
Are you my mommy?
Are you my mommy?
No, I was going to say, it's kind of like, I know I know Doctor Who was way before.
I'm telling you, Doc. The Doctor meets up with Satan coming up in a two-part episode.
I know Doctor Who is way before the show I'm about to tell you. But Doctor Who kind of reminds me of Quantum Leap.
Oh yeah,
because those
Doctor Who reminds you of what?
Quantum Leap.
Quantum Leap.
Yeah. Well, Quantum Leap is jump back and forth through time too. So I could see that. He didn't have the TARDIS though, but he had that little dialy thing. So that might be his version of the TARDIS. And his version of Rose, I guess, would be Dean Stockwell's character.
Exactly.
Rose.
Who's a Cylon now? Oh, look, there's a tie in there.
Yeah, maybe.
Hold on. I got it. When they get to Earth, Dean Stockwell.
Oh, surprise. Back you go.
Dean Stockwell becomes on the episode of Quantum Leap.
By the way,
Dean Stockwell.
What happened to Dean Stockwell on Battlestar this week?
Nothing.
Right. He wasn't there.
He got laid too much in the episode before. He was too tired.
Yeah, he wasn't. We didn't see him at all in this episode.
I wonder if they're going to eliminate him now until they can get him back for a future episode.
I don't know.
They can't
interesting.
Pay him.
What about Goliath? Yeah, everybody's asking about Goliath. Who was outstanding? Well, next week is what? I didn't see the previous.
Next week is the two-part Cyberman adventure.
Ooh,
Rise of the Cybermen. It takes place on a parallel Earth where Rose's father is still alive. Mickey meets up with duplicate Mickey from that planet who's leading a resistance against cyber industry.
Outstanding. Actually, Invincor's website is DoctorWhoDVDFAQ.com.
Do we get any discounts on DVD?
You have to take that up with Invincor. And he's saying that Torchwood is excellent, but with the adult content, he doesn't think that Sci-Fi will pick up the series. It's too adult for Sci-Fi.
Really? That Torchwood will not be picked up by Sci-Fi?
What the hell? Why don't they pick it up and air it later at night, like they have the wrestling or something?
Well, I'm trying to get the DVDs from a friend anyway. So.
Can't they? Well, I mean,
who the hell cares whether they pick it up or not, right?
Well, the question for Invincor maybe, and maybe you, if you've seen the Torchwood, is it more adult than the first season of Galactica?
I bet you, the British version of adult is definitely different from the American version of adult. So my guess is the British version has a lot more than just sex to
oh,
it.
For crying
it probably
out.
Has a lot of language and racy type of.
Well, they should say he's a he's a bisexual,
guy. And violent.
Violent. I mean, they got the show on Showtime now. What the hell is its name? Dexter, and he's supposed to be he's killing people. I'd see it,
But Doctor Who is not doing very well in the ratings in season two. I think it's averaging about a 1.1.
Oh, really? I haven't been able to find the ratings.
Yeah, I saw some of the ratings the last couple of weeks, about a 1.1, a 1.2.
Uh-oh.
That's pretty bad. It's on par with those movies.
How is Galactica doing? How did Galactica do?
Well, Galactica took an upsurge 2 weeks ago to 1.8. And I think that was Exodus Part 1, but I've heard that Exodus Part 2, it dropped.
Yeah.
So, I don't know for sure.
Don't get me
but
started.
I heard that the overnights for this last...
You just
don't get me
Friday
started.
Yeah,
don't get me started with the ratings, all right?
Yeah, we've been
Friday
saying
nights is a
killer horrible
for any show.
Yeah.
You stick a show on CBS, which
you're thinking is that
move it,
dude.
Star Galactica will be picked up for a season four, right?
I'm saying take all the shows they got on Friday night. Can't Friday night put a rerun of a movie because you'll probably still get maybe 1 million viewers.
Yeah.
No one watches TV Friday night. Move it to Sunday night, and your viewers, because remember, I think I remember seeing last week when I was looking for the ratings since they weren't out yet. I ran into the miniseries Battlestar Galactica, which was a Sunday, Monday night, and it was like a 4.5. You're telling me you lost that many viewers? No, because most of the people are taping it and then watching it.
Yeah, actually, Invincor's got the ratings for part two, and it's devastating.
Is it 1.4?
Oh, you're in there too?
Is it 1.4?
Yeah,
No, I'm not in the chat room, but I thought
lowest
it was
rating yet for Galactica.
And it's hard to say, it's hard to think that all
and
these people that talk about
that episode of Galactica was probably the all-time best in terms of special effects.
Exactly.
Out of all these people that talk about it and all this critically acclaimed, and they're only pulling 1.4, that's hard. I can't say that there's only 1.4 million views. I would say there's probably three times that many people watching.
It's just those damn Nielsen families, whoever's the Nielsen family. But it premiered at a 1.8 from Darth Pelosi, and he did Exodus Part 1 did a 1.6. And then Exodus 2 did a 1.4. Those numbers like that, it won't last the fourth season.
Why do you think ABC, CBS, why do you think they don't put anything on Friday night? Because no one watches Friday night. And those
Whisperer,
are the shows they don't care about.
Wait a minute. Ghost Whisperer is doing very good.
Yeah. What's that?
Jennifer Love Hewitt.
Oh.
Please.
I mean, you can act, man.
Can we hang up on you now?
They just want to see her. They just want to see her tits.
You know,
that's all they care
about. Yeah,
they
want to see Hooters.
James Olmos.
Please.
Hello.
That's
what?
On at a different time anyway. But who are people going
to? They got to move Galactica to Sunday, Monday.
Look,
the
shows they put on Friday night, like CBS, the major networks. Those are the shows they really don't care. They don't want to cancel them. Maybe they do. I don't know. But they really don't care about those shows. Stick them on Friday night. Who cares about them?
Yeah.
If they do bad, we don't care because we're not really losing much money on them anyways.
Yeah.
Or
now,
they already got somewhat of a following.
Did you guys like
the
second part of
I did.
Exodus?
I thought it was outstanding.
Wasn't that great when the Galactica entered the atmosphere?
Oh, yeah, that was cool.
It was flaming, and then the Vipers went. Those effects were
incredible.
So much better than any Star Trek Babylon 5. I mean, it was done in broad daylight.
Yeah, and seeing the ship coming down, and you see Ty looking up and seeing the Galactic coming down. And all of a sudden,
the
thing jumped. And
effects like that on a small screen.
It was excellent.
I'm telling you,
they were excellent.
You know,
and if anyone was just watching it and they got a 1.4,
sci-fi.
The ratings lie, but they repeated it two other times that night.
Mm-hmm. Sci-fi thinks they're the guru of sci-fi, but I'm telling you, stick that show on Sunday night, and that will pull a 4 or 5, and they'll be like, oh, well, I guess we shouldn't have put it. And that's not saying
Sunday
no one's...
night is the night for Galactic.
And I'm saying, and what I'm saying is, I'm not saying no one's watching the Friday night. I'm just saying most people are taping it.
Yeah.
I'm one of them.
Yeah. They need to move them.
Well, I'm watching it and taping it, too.
Yeah, I thought it was an excellent episode. I mean, I loved it. I like when they get off. The planet is what's killing it. Don't put an episode on any planet.
Ty killing his wife, that was fantastic in the opening minute.
Yeah,
that
was outstanding. And, well, now she's the major character they're killing off now?
All I can tell you is, and I'm not patting myself on the back, but every rumor
yes,
that I gave you.
You have been right. All
has
along.
Been right. Ty having his eye gouged
absolutely.
Out.
Absolutely.
Ellen Ty being killed in episode 3. Well, then they expanded it to,
yeah.
to episode 4.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, every single thing, you know?
Yeah.
And I think the major character they're referring to
yeah.
is episode 16.
Ooh. Well, you know,
and that's the major character that dies in episode 16.
Yeah, the I like that whole you know, and then I like the scene with Laura and Zarek, where she, you know, he's saying and she's telling him go to your ship, and then she's
right.
going to her ship, and she goes back on Colonial One, and she
right.
takes out her the book of Cobol, and then she goes, I'm ready to leave now. All that was very good. And the baby, what's her name, was killed, and the baby Hera still survived,
Hera,
but now she's
right.
with the Cylons.
So now Hera and Bortar have gone up to the Cylon base star, and the next episode is supposed to be the point of view episode from the Cylon.
Oh.
So that ought to be good, because I thought one of the best episodes of season 2
yeah.
was Downloaded.
Yeah.
So my guess is, but Exodus Part 2, I mean, some people are comparing it to the first episode of the series, 33.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's so much better than that. I would put it almost on par
mm-hmm.
with the effects of the miniseries.
Oh, it was incredible. And then
I would even say that second part is probably the best episode of the entire Galactica series.
Jeez.
That's what I would
wow.
say. All right? And
then I like that scene when Adama realizes it's over with, he's not going to survive this, and he says, it's been an honor serving with you, and they show the Galactica, dropping the camera's pulling away while the base star is just letting the Galactica have it, and then all of a sudden, I hear the
oh, psh, 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 and my other prediction, right?
Here comes the
Pegasus. Gets it.
Yeah.
By ramming into the battle, the
base
star.
Yeah, and then
it actually destroys two.
Two of them. Well,
he
took
that's
a line.
Right.
Apollo stole a line from Lloyd Bridges, and he says, plot a course in between the two base ships. We're going right up the middle. That was
that's
exactly
right.
the line that Kane said on the series with the Pegasus.
That's right.
Exactly
that's
the
right.
same lines. It must have been a little nod towards, you know, they
it
knew.
Was, it was a little nod.
Yeah, excellent, excellent.
But, you know,
and then,
what can I say? It was a great episode from start to finish,
yeah.
wasn't it?
And then Adama.
Now, we got to watch her, because she's going to start having delusions of grandeur now. She's going to think of herself as the Cylon god.
Who, Laura?
No, Lucy Lawless.
Oh.
Number 3.
yeah.
You got to watch out for her. I'm curious to know, when Laura goes back to the fleet, will she be installed as the president? Or
well, we saw
Zarek?
Her taking the oath next week.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, then that's good.
I think, well, Zarek.
But then who will be the VP?
I think Zarek will be the VP.
That'll be good.
Mm-hmm.
That'll be good. More Richard Hatch, right?
Yeah, I think so. And then something's going on next week where the
oh yeah, they're going to be trying, aren't they?
Yeah.
The conspirators.
Yes.
Of the Cylons, right? A group has taken it upon themselves to judge them.
And especially Geta might just
yeah,
get.
Yeah, Geta is one of them. Right?
And it's like Ty is one of the executioners, huh?
Right.
Ooh,
right.
With
well.
Starbuck and with Tyrol's there too, I believe, right?
Mm-hmm.
Interesting.
Tyrol is going to have a big part to play this season. From what I understand.
Well, let's hope so. I really think, almost the scenes were very good. When he shaved his mustache and all that, and he comes out and
I thought one of the most significant things is when he shaved his mustache.
Yeah, and then I like the scenes when the Raptors are unloading and see Apollo and Dee get off the ship, and then he sees Ty coming off, and I like that scene with Ty. He goes, he says, "Oh soul, you did it. You saved them." He goes, "Not all of them, and Adama knows he's referring to Ellen, you know."
You know, didn't you like it when the group on Caprica went up to Galactica and not everyone was celebrating? I mean, Ty
mm-hmm.
clearly has been affected by the loss of his wife,
yeah.
even though
Starbuck.
He poisoned her. And then Starbuck, she really wanted to have that child as her
she's
own.
She's devastated.
She's devastated too. So what I like about that show is that there's not always a happy ending for all of the characters, that some of the characters have been affected by what's gone on.
Yeah, and then they show Adama getting picked up by the people, and Adama.
Oh, yeah, that was good when Adama gets picked up.
Yeah,
and
he turns and looks at Ty walking away, so he's obviously worried about Ty.
Poor Ty.
And then Starbuck. Yeah, I'm wondering, if we're going to get the background, what happened to make Ty and Starbuck close? Yeah, what went down in that year that made them
right.
come together?
Well, they're going to have I think a flashback episode, is it 7, 8, or 9, something like that, in one of the later ones in the first 10, where they're going to have a flashback episode where they show what happened between Apollo and Starbuck, why Apollo married Dee, and all of that. So for those who are really into the soap,
yeah, that was an incredible scene. I got an instant message about the Pegasus taking that base star out, and you see the side of the landing bay flying off. You see the Pegasus name come across, and it hits the other base star. So that was incredible. Especially the effects were incredible.
I think it's still funny that even in this reimaged version, they not only named the battle stars, but they got the name plastered on each of the battle stars. You know, Galactica, Pegasus. I mean, it's sort of like I sort of know that it was sort of cheesy when they did it in the 70s, and okay, that's the Galactica, okay, that's the Pegasus.
Well,
to differentiate the two, but not, but you know, labeling them, putting the label of the ship on the ship, I don't know.
They do that. I mean, look at the Star Trek.
I know.
You always knew which.
It's a little cheesy, don't you think?
I don't know. Well, they always had things that says, you know, NCC 1701 Enterprise, USS Enterprise.
I know.
What's in the other one? You know, they all had the names on it. The Defiant, Reliant. You know,
I know. Defiant, Reliant.
The only one that I don't think had the name of was Babylon 5 or in Deep Space 9. You didn't
say
Deep Space.
That's right. Babylon 5 did not have the name plastered, and neither did Deep Space.
Or Star Wars.
Space 9 was actually a Cardassian space station.
That's right.
Something Terek Nor, I forget the name of the Cardassian lingo, but Deep Space Nine was not really a Federation vessel. It was taken, it was seized by the Federation from the Cardassians.
Star
Trek fan here, huh?
Actually, and Vince was saying that someone pointed out to him that the kid is the one who was born at the end of 33.
I don't know.
I lost part of this discussion.
The kid was the one that was born at the end of 33?
Yeah.
Wait, what kid?
That kid was named Casey,
This
one's the right age. Some kid who was born.
Is he sure that was the one that was born at the end of 33?
He's saying that kid was named Casey, and this one's the right age.
I love Invincor, but
you'll have to go back and watch.
I think he's stretching this man. You know,
you have to go back and watch 33 now.
Like I'm going to go back and watch 33. Well, they said we have a birth, right?
Yeah.
So
we went up.
That
one.
Doesn't mean that's Casey, does it?
And that the kid was named Casey. That's what they named
is
the kid.
Is that what they said?
Yeah.
The name of the kid is Casey at the end of 33?
That's what he's saying. So I'll have to go back and watch my 33 now and see what they say.
Okay, why don't you do that, and then he can report back to all of us.
Don't you have it on DVD? Okay? You can watch it real quick on DVD, can't you?
No, I'll let you do it, Sean. It's your show.
I can do it and research it. But it was outstanding.
It's your show. You should do it, you know?
I'm just working.
What you call good research.
He says it's just what I'm saying. I'm just saying that what he was told by a real Galactica nut. So
real Galactica nut. Well, I'm not a real Galactica nut.
We'll find out. But I thought it was. I'm just concerned about the ratings. If they did a 1.4 for Exodus Part 2, it doesn't.
That really stinks.
It doesn't foretell good things for the rest of the season.
I would not put Galactica out of commission. My sources have been very quiet with me of late. If there was something major brewing where they were thinking of canceling the show after this season, I would be hearing something from my sources by now. The only thing I've been hearing is what interviews have been disclosed, that Ron Moore is starting to work on the first 10 episodes of season 4. So my guess is, unless something's going to be, because they're doing the spinoff, what are they calling that?
Caprica.
So if they're doing a spinoff series, they would almost have to do a season 4 to coincide it with that.
Yeah. Well, and Koenig, before we let go,
we'd
like you to be a judge. Media Boulevard
and
S2D are going to do a essay contest. We're going to one-up Mrs. Ron's contest. you gotta have you be a judge of the essays.
I thought judges usually do other things besides read essays.
No, you're going to have to judge which one's the better essay, why they like Battlestar Galactica.
Are you going to be giving me those essays?
Yes, I believe I will. The essay should be between 700 and 2,500 words.
Oh, my God.
And he's going to set up a special email for the... for the contest. So we'll have an essay. Why do you like Battlestar Galactica? And the contest winner, the prize package, is going to get the Season 1 DVD set. You're going to get the Battlestar Galactica series DVD, a Season 2.0 DVD, and a Season 2.5 DVD, as well as the Story So Far DVD.
What happens if there are fans out there that have all those DVDs?
Well, they'll just get an extra one to give away for Christmas.
Okay. Now, I did have a question.
Do you
take off points if there's misspelling?
No, it's up to you. You're the professor.
Well, I would take off lots of points. So if they don't do spell check, and even with spell check, you can still have problems. If they have a lot of misspellings, I'm not going to read that crap.
So, and then the winner...
Do I get paid for this, Sean?
You're granted your check is in the mail.
Sean, do I get paid for this?
No, you can include it in your book.
Oh, I can include it in my book. I like Battlestar Galactica.
Yes, and... so we're going to have the code word. It's going to be a code phrase in your email. It's going to be a special email that said, there's the TARDIS. There's going to be an email code phrase.
I have to leave now.
Okay. Well, I'll get to you in the email.
But the Cybermen,
all right.
Be on the lookout for that. That's a great episode.
All right,
great
Koenig.
Harder.
We shall let you go. Have a good night.
You too.
Thank you very much.
See
you next week. And there goes the crazy professor. And thank you very much for being on the program. And in a moment, we'll be joined by the mad rocket scientist of Subject to Discussion, Dr. Net Ranger, and we'll talk about the pop culture, going through the rules of the contest. The contest is open only to listeners of S2D and our registered posters of the Media Boulevard Magazine forums. But the good news is you can become both. Number two, write an essay about what Battlestar Galactica means to you. Why it is significant to you. Essay should be between 750 and 2,500 words and should be emailed to a special email address, which is bsg@s2dradio.com. And entries must be received in 2 weeks, so by 7 o'clock Pacific time on Monday, wherever that one is in November. I forget, wherever the Monday, the first Monday in November. In your email, you must include the code phrase, which we're going to say tonight, and to prove that you listened to this show. And you must post in the S2D forum at Media Boulevard in the thread discussing the contest that you have entered. So, you just put in your name discussing the contest that you have entered, not your whole essay, because you're supposed to email your essay to bsg@s2dradio.com. So I think with that, we'll bring on the mad rocket scientist, Dr. Netranger. And Dr. Netranger, are you there, sir?
Yes, Sean, how's it going?
Oh, very good. I'm trying, just going through the contest, the rules for the contest.
Yeah. And I guess we got to come up with a code phrase.
Code phrase tonight will be Jericho. How about that?
Okay, sounds good.
You got to put the code phrase Jericho in for the Battlestar Galactica.
And you've got to send that in with your email.
Email. Yeah. It's got to be included with your email, and you have to go on the forum at MediaBoulevard.com for S2D and say that you have entered the contest. Don't put your essay there, right? Just put that you've entered, right?
Right. This is a pretty cool thing. I don't know. I kind of might have missed it in the transition there if you mentioned this, but NBC Universal actually gave these to us.
Yes.
Gave it to us to actually promote MB Magazine and S2D Radio.
Very good. Once again, it's a Season 1 DVD set. There'll be one grand prize, and the second prize will be just the 2.5 DVD, right?
Right. So the grand prize is a Season 1 DVD set, the miniseries DVD set, which is also in the Season 1.
Correct.
But, we have that. So then the 2.0, the 2.5, and the 45-minute story so far promo that they did.
Excellent. And again, the essay is What Galactica Means to You, Why It Is Significant to You. And an essay should be between 750 and 2,500 words. Ooh, that's a lot of words, though, huh?
Well, you kind of wanted to limit it since we have to read these things.
Yes.
Didn't want a 10,000 page.
No, yeah.
You know what Koenig did in his book or something.
Keep it short and pithy, as Bill Riley says. And once again, should be emailed to bsg@s2dradio.com.
And right, and the details, I'll put the details up on the S2D forum kind of after the show. I'll do that tonight.
Okay, and entries must be received by 7 o'clock Pacific time, next? No, we extended it, right?
Yeah, we're going to have entries by Friday, November 3rd. I thought that
by Friday, November 3rd, yes. So we'll have to go to MediaBoulevard.com and go on the S2D forum, S2DRadio.com forum, and you'll see the contest rules and everything else. That's a nice little giveaway there, huh?
Yeah, yes. That'd be a cool little.
Very good.
Everybody probably has them, but like you said, it's they may not have all of them, and it's a good thing to give away for a Christmas present.
Yes. And where else here? You want to talk? First, want to talk about what the last? Okay, right. I got my notes all jumbled up here. Grey's Anatomy. Now, the one guy came out of the closet last week, right? T.R. Knight.
Right.
So he's gay.
We talked about this last week a little bit. The fight on the set between Isaiah Washington and Patrick Dempsey.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
It actually turned out a little more is coming out about it now. Oh. I guess the fight involved some kind of slur against T.R. Knight because he's gay.
Uh-oh.
That Isaiah Washington kind of let out, and then Patrick Dempsey jumped in and kind of defended the guy and took him on. So that's what caused the fight. So
wow.
A lot of rumors now. That's I guess it's a pretty harsh thing that he said. I don't know what the exact quote was, but kind of upset a lot of people. And so now they're starting to talk about whether or not Isaiah Washington is going to be around.
Oh, the character?
He's one of the main characters. So.
Oh. He'll be gone, huh?
Yeah,
probably.
I can definitely see that. The show's saying that's not going to happen, that things are kind of back to normal. But there's a lot of rumblings about it and a lot of people upset. So.
I can't get into Grey's Anatomy. I'm sorry. It reminds me too much of ER. How many of these medical shows can we take? You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And then pickups, cancellations, and losing steam and on the bubble. Runaway was finally bounced by the CW, right?
Right, right. Definitely canceled.
Now, came up with this idea. They at work. Everybody knows how much I like Jericho. What would happen? What would you think if CBS moves Jericho over to the CW? Because they own it.
Right? Yeah. Well, I don't know why they would. I mean, it's doing really well on the main network.
Yeah, I mean, it's a hit, but not a huge hit. You know what I'm saying? If it goes over to CW, it might be the signature show of the whole network over there,
Yeah, but I think the CW is still not in every market.
Yeah.
And Jericho's doing really well. I mean, it's doing well. They're very happy with it. So,
huh.
So I don't know that they'd want to do that.
Interesting. And what else? Someone's going on in the chat room. I think our audio went out, Koenig, or Con. Everybody mixed up. Seems like it's fine here, but I don't know. They'll have to catch up on the podcast. I think it's the Cylons tapping in. Anyway, you can hear me fine, couldn't you? Net Ranger?
Yeah.
Yeah, you can hear me fine. Okay.
Yeah, I can still hear in the background.
Oh, okay, so we're fine. So something must be wrong in Denmark. Maybe they're in Jericho. Maybe the missiles
could be. Find out where those people are.
Yeah. Well, but there it comes. Speaking of Jericho, excellent. We got the other one. The phone ringing. There we go. We've got this one coming. Here it comes.
Secretary Walsh from the Department of Homeland Security. Do not be alarmed. If you are safe, stay where you are. Do not attempt to
leave. Who is it, Rob?
We will be in contact again shortly. Until then, know that help is on the way.
Hello. This is assistant.
Outstanding. Outstanding. I might get those clips in. Thank you for helping me with those clips. It's
sure
appreciated.
No problem. Yeah, that was quite the show last week, wasn't
it? Oh, it was wonderful. The best show on TV right now. Wednesdays on CBS at 8 o'clock Pacific time, right?
Yeah, I'm not sure I'll go that far saying it's the best show yet, but it's definitely in the top two or three.
Absolutely.
But, last week, things really started moving.
Oh,
and the way it ended with a retaliatory strike.
Absolutely. We got that too, don't we, Con? We'll launch the missiles here. I got something for all you anti-Jericho fans. Here we go. That was an incredible scene, wasn't it?
Oh, yeah. Looks like all the missiles in Kansas are going off, so probably all over the U.S.
And outstanding.
Don't know who we're launching against yet.
No, we don't know anything. And then tomorrow is 9:02. All hell breaks loose tomorrow on the Jericho. I'm going to ruin it. I know some of the previews, but it's an episode not to be missed tomorrow. So it's picking up steam, the series, right?
Yeah, it definitely is. And, you know, I really wonder what they're going to do with this Robert Hawkins, the guy. He's got the satellite feed to his computer, and he's definitely got something going on. Don't know yet if he's a good guy or a bad guy.
Something's going on. I don't know.
They're kind of making it look like, I don't know, is Jake Green going to be from the same program or something? Mm. Or, you know, where does he have all his skills, his Skeet Ulrich character?
That's right, because when they're getting the water out of the pool to save Eric's house, he said, oh, you know, and Hawkins says, oh, Jake, you're pretty creative. Where'd you learn all this? He goes, oh, I was a pool boy. And then Hawkins goes and gets the SUV for the power to get the water out of the pool, and then Jake says the same thing. And where'd you learn this? Goes, I was a pool boy too. So something's going. And then at the end, they show him looking at Jake's passport records as well.
Right, I think he was on a no-fly list, wasn't it?
Was something that his passport was flagged for some reason. We don't know why it was flagged. A lot of people are saying if you're CIA or something like that, maybe it's, defense intelligence or something like that, that your passport is flagged.
Right.
Yeah. So I don't know. It was an outstanding episode, and then they ramped up the whole thing with the fire and everything, which is pretty good, huh?
Right.
And then Stanley was saying, how'd you learn this? You're freaking me out. And they said nobody's been to the pump station in years. I think what happened to the city that Jake ran out of town happened with him and Emily at that water pump. I don't know, maybe Jake flooded the whole city or something. I think that's going to be, because he's been there before. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
So I think that's going to come up.
He was way around.
Yeah, that's going to come up in future episodes. Something happened. I mean, maybe some of that water tower that something flooded the town. You know, because she, the mother, said that your father had to pick up the pieces after you left. You left the mess when you left. Your father really went out of his way to clean it up. So I think something happened with the water. Maybe he flooded the town or something. Something's coming. And it was I liked it. It was very an outstanding episode. Anyway, we're jumping ahead of ourselves. And
Jericho is actually holding right in there, right around the 10.8 or 11 million viewers. So
it's doing
quite
well.
That's pretty amazing. It's not dropping at all.
No,
it's got a core group, it seems. And the other good thing about it is for CBS is the lead-in. It's Criminal Minds is retaining about 90% of the audience. So Criminal Minds is already. That's probably why it's doing better this year.
That's what I said. I said a lot of the Criminal Minds is very good, but Criminal Minds finally has a show in front of it. You know, that has an audience that can lead into Criminal Minds. You know,
right, exactly.
So, but again, it's very good. And the when you saw Jake talking to his father, I thought that was a moving scene there. Kind of harkens me back to Adama Ali and Bill Adama. You know. And they played a little music that with the Irish bagpipes playing, So that's kind of, it's that kind of like a. I said it was kind of. I think it was a nod towards Galactica because we know last week that she's, Carol Barbie said that they, like Galactica. So,
right.
Yeah, interesting. And actually, last week's was the. I checked the numbers today. Now that's the highest with her on. It was the highest podcast download since the first Katie Sackhoff appearance.
That's
S2D. So there is a following for Jericho, so it's outstanding. And what else? I kind of moved ahead of myself. Let's see. Knights of Prosperity and ABC, was that canceled?
Well, it's not actually officially canceled yet, but it's listed as being on permanent hiatus. So that's
just before cancellation. That's what they do sometimes if they don't outright cancel it. But it's on hiatus now, and no plans, no mention of when it's coming back.
Hmm. And Men in Trees, they expect that to be canceled. That's the show with, what's her name?
And she's,
Anne Heche, and she's up in Alaska, right?
Right. They've been saying that for a while, though. I'm not sure why it's hanging on, but it hasn't been canned yet. But that's kind of an expectation that maybe this week or next week that'll actually be made.
And Smith was canceled last week. That show was very expensive to produce, and so that was deader than a doornail, that show. And Vanished and Kidnapped removed the Friday and Saturday, which it's like graveyards for the networks, right?
Right, and they're actually saying that, too. They're saying that, since they're serialized, mystery shows that kind of started, they want to be, actually both networks are saying that, both Fox and NBC are saying that, they kind of want to be loyal to the viewers who did watch the show.
Hmm.
So they're going to go ahead and play out the mystery.
Oh, well, it's good for them.
That graveyard slot, Friday night for Fox and Saturday for NBC.
Well, that's good for them. It's millions of dollars that are thrown out the window just to finish their mysteries, huh?
Well, I think they already spent most of the money. The shows are pretty far into production. I think most of the series are kind of around episode 9 or 10 that they're filming right now.
Mm.
So not that big of a loss.
No. And then Losing Steam, you have the 9, horrible.
Studio 60.
Studio 60 is a disaster. And then 6 Degrees, I never watched that. But the 9, I don't know. I had a feeling. We talked about it when I first, I think you said the same thing. It's too intense for the audience to follow week in, week out, correct?
Right. And I kind of have to admit, I watched the second episode, and I kind of lost interest. I've got them on my TiVo, but
too much going on,
haven't
huh?
caught them yet.
And then Studio 60 was just horrendous to begin with. It was those two clowns starring in it.
Yeah, and Studio 60 again. I mean, we talked about this every week of the season. But every time, every episode that's on, every half hour of the episode continues to lose viewers. So down to about 7.6 million for last night.
Wow. And then full season pickups: Ugly Betty, which it's getting good reviews. Shark, which James Woods' series. And then the Game on CW, and then Heroes and Jericho, of course, got a full season.
Right, so those are the ones so far that have got the full season.
And two more. You said last week the NBC ordered two more episodes of Friday Night Lights, which actually...
Well, actually, they did something even stranger towards the end of last week. They actually ordered a full season of episodes.
Wow.
It's not a full season pickup yet, but they went ahead and ordered all. So they'll have 22 scripts done.
Oh.
So they ordered 9 more scripts. And they're actually, another thing they're going to do with that next week, they're actually pairing it with Heroes. They're putting it in the Studio 60 slot.
Oh, interesting. Well, that should save it then, because Heroes
is
so...
The word is, if it does better than Studio 60, or if it even picks up, that Studio 60 might be gone, and Friday Night Lights moved into that slot.
It should be in that time slot. I mean, it's more the audience, probably similar with Heroes and Friday Night Lights than it has to do with Studio 60. Studio 60.
Yeah, well, I think they thought they were going to keep it in the earlier time slot because they thought they'd have a younger audience. That turned out not to really be the case. The audience is actually older for the show than what they originally thought. So,
well, you said they better have what's his name running around there in a G-string pretty soon if they hope to get any more viewers. Lost to Criminal Minds, huh?
First time, the first time Lost is not one in its time slot for a new episode. I'm not totally sure about that statistic. I've seen that two places on the net today, but they're saying that every time The Lost has been on, every original airing of Lost, it's always won its time slot.
Wow.
And it lost only by a very small margin.
300,000 viewers.
300,000 viewers.
Yeah. Huh. So, interesting. Again, Jericho led in 90% retention for Criminal Minds. Friday Night Lights, we talk about that. Let's see. Blah, 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 blah. Talking about Studio 60 and then NBC, they've been talking about that on the news that they're laying off 750 people. And
they're saying mostly from the news gathering services, so like MSNBC and all of the NBC Nightly News and those.
Yeah, a lot of the on-air talent at MSNBC is going to start disappearing, apparently, because they're getting rid of a lot of those people. I know that one girl, I forget her name now, she does the early... the first look on MSNBC, she left last Friday, so they're cutting back already. They're moving fast, pretty fast. And then,
right now, another thing that NBC is doing as part of this, as part of the same announcement, they've decided they're going to phase out the early hour prime time. So for me in Mountain Time, that's at 7 p.m. I think for most markets, that's the 8 p.m. time slot. But they're not going to have drama shows there anymore.
Wow.
They're going to do all reality and game shows.
Oh, my God.
But over the next 2 years, they're going to phase that out. And they're saying that a show like Deal or No Deal, mm-hmm. I guess, which is really popular now, costs about $100,000 to make, mm-hmm. to make an episode. And a drama like Friday Night Lights costs about $2.5 million.
Oh, yeah, you got the crews and all that stuff.
Right.
But people are so sick of the, I don't know, maybe they're not, maybe it's just me, they're so sick of these damn reality shows and these, you know, ridiculous game shows. Yeah, that's why, you know what, the only really good show that's on 8 o'clock during the week is Jericho. You got to stick with it or you're going to get another reality show shoved down our throats, right?
Well, you know, I've been thinking about that. You know, I think you and I and, you know, most of the people that come, you know, come to Media Boulevard and other places are, mm-hmm. are kind of sick of those shows, but mm-hmm. I think the general public isn't. I mean, mm-hmm. yeah, they Deal or No Deal is in the top, always, almost always the winner in this time slot. And this 1 versus 100 that they came out with, I mean, it comes in at, you know, 14 million viewers.
I don't know. I just look at, you know, because when we had Katie Sackhoff on, you know, she said it, and I felt the same way before she came on, that, you know, these reality shows are putting good actors out of work, writers out of work. You
right.
know, and all for these inane, you know, game shows and stupid reality shows, eating bugs and all that stuff. You know, I mean, part of TV is you want to, especially after the news, you want to escape, you want drama, you want to see stories that take you out of, you know, your real life and into somebody else's life for at least an hour. You know, not
I mean,
these
that's
hokey.
Definitely how I feel, but yeah. I'm not sure. You know, apparently, I guess, you know, a lot of the public likes to watch that kind of stuff. So.
And Heroes
and
is
profitable. So.
Yeah, and Heroes is doing real well. They did a marathon on Saturday night, right? They aired, what, two episodes?
No, actually, on Sunday night, they aired 4 episodes. Every episode that had played so far, they re-aired. And that actually caused a pretty sizable bump in the viewership. And last night, they actually jumped up by close to 1 million viewers over where they were. So,
And
so they're actually doing really, really well. And it's, I think as we were talking in the chat mm-hmm. a little while ago. It's definitely one of the best shows on TV. I mean, the writing is just great.
Yeah. Well, I hope
definitely building towards
something.
Know, big things.
Yeah. Hopefully, it sounds like it'll stir in. And writers seem to know what they're doing and everything. So it's. I like. Again, I keep mentioning the new Entertainment Weekly that's out with Clint Eastwood on the cover. They list the the top handful of shows, new shows you should be watching. Heroes is one of them, and so is Jericho. And actually, in the new TV Guide, they talk about Heroes as well. So they're getting a lot of press.
Right, the cover story in TV Guide, I think, for this week's edition.
Yeah, and then we talk about Jericho holding it strong at 10.8 million viewers, and the CW is in trouble. They got these old shows. Nobody's watching these old shows anymore, you know?
Yeah, but nobody. There are actually some really kind of strange rumors going out there, and these are kind of coming from people who were pretty involved in the WB. I mentioned this in the notes there, that there's some talk about bringing Everwood back. I can't believe that would be even remotely true. But when you look at the shows that they thought were going to do really well, keeping them around, like Seventh Heaven, basically killed both Everwood and the Aquaman pilot. And you know, Seventh Heaven is not doing very well. This Runaway that they brought just totally tanked. I mean, never even got over 2 million viewers.
Hmm. Terrible. Well, I don't know. Yes, Everwood. If they cancel, the Nine, and that one guy from Party of Five, he was on the Everwood, so they could, you know, put him back on Everwood.
They kind of wrote him off. They wrote him off at the end of Everwood. But Everwood kind of had a finale episode. After they finished their season, then they came back with one more episode that kind of wrapped up a lot of plot lines.
Oh. Well.
But then again, they did that with Seventh Heaven, too,
mm-hmm.
and then announced they were bringing it back, so...
Yeah, so you never know. And then we got a couple minutes of movies. Let's see. You see, The Prestige won the week with $15 million, right?
Right.
Flags of Our Fathers brought in just over $10 million.
Right.
Actually, people are talking about the soundtrack to Prestige. They say it's one of the best soundtracks out. So
right, that's what I've heard, too. I haven't actually seen the film yet, but that's what I'm hearing.
And opening this week is Saw Part 3, opening in time for Halloween. They're one of these horror movies.
Dude. Yeah, hardly anything opening this week, just that and then one other smaller film. But this is really kind of the dead time of year, so you won't really see any big openings until Thanksgiving at this point.
Very good. And then, again, when we're running the contest, just go to MediaBoulevard.com and the S2D Subject to Discussion Forum. There'll be details on the contest there, and the code word for tonight is Jericho, right?
Right.
Use as to put that in your email with the essay about why Battlestar Galactica is significant to you. Correct.
Right, and we'll also have we'll have the details up on the FTD radio site and on the Media Boulevard magazine site as well as the FTD forum. So
People look there on the.
You're getting a question from the chat room from Darth Pelosi. NetRanger, you should get us some data on potential mid-season replacement shows for us. Well, maybe we could do that next week.
Right. Actually, I kind of do have some of those prepared. So.
Oh, okay. Yeah, we got a minute.
No, I mean, we'll talk about those in the future weeks.
Okay. So. Yeah, next week we're going to see because Khan's going to be on vacation, and I believe I'll email Trencher. He does the Spankwagon program, so hopefully he'll be here to do it, and then he'll be back from his European vacation. Give us any story.
Okay.
Chevy Chase. So anyway, NetRanger, we'll let you go.
Okay, great.
And we'll check you out at Media Boulevard and Media Boulevard Magazine, correct?
Yeah.
All right.
All right, well, thanks a lot,
all right,
John.
Thank you very much. Have a good night. And thank you to the mad rocket scientist, Dr. NetRanger, for our pop culture discussion. And we'll get more information on the mid-season replacements coming our way. I like talking about the numbers, the ratings, and everything. That way you can see these shows, how interest is waning or picking up on these series. And I just wish sci-fi is more forthcoming with its ratings numbers than they are. But I have a feeling Galactica's in trouble. If we're only doing 1.4, doesn't mean hell. Stargate does better than Galactica then. I mean, But anyway, I'd like to thank everybody for being on. Thank you, Michael J.W. Stickings. Thank you to Koenig Rules. Thank you, everybody in the chat room.
Got some time. Don't worry.
Oh, okay. Thank you to the mad rock and science. Good luck on your trip. I'll shake hands with the producer.
I'll try not to run into any terrorists.
He's going to Germany to celebrate Oktoberfest, so we wish him well in Germany.
Oktoberfest is over.
Oh, whatever. Anyway, every day is Oktoberfest in Germany. I hate to tell you that. But anyway, in the morning is Daily Noise. Friday.